Before we get started, I recorded this with someone from the BioWare social network. This person came on to talk about the Mass Effect series and the Mass Effect 3 ending. He was gracious enough to come on. I kind of hope to get some more, but and have this a standalone. But since we do talk about the game in Geek Entertainment, this is a pretty good place to put it. So, without further ado, here we go.
Alright, so my name's Christian, I'm 14, and I live in southeastern Indiana. How did I come to play Mass Effect? Well, I started in the Mass Effect universe with number 2. I had rented the game from Blockbuster, and I had tried it out and played it from there, and that was, I would say, a couple years ago. After that, I went to a game store and found Mass Effect 1 for around $20 and bought it there, and then I went through and played that. And after that, I started working on a playthrough that had all of my decisions that I would have liked to move on to the other sequels after that. How many times did I play Mass Effect? I know I played it. I did a one playthrough the first time I got it, just a couple years ago, and then recently I started getting back into it and getting my saves ready for Mass Effect 3, and I'd say I played maybe two or three times to get the different decisions that I wanted, and then I just moved on to Mass Effect 3 with those. What was my feeling about the launch of Mass Effect 2? I wasn't around during the launch of Mass Effect 2. I got the game, I think it was a couple months after or something like that. What was my feeling about the ending of Mass Effect 2? I think they did a really good job at choosing the different ways that the ending could fall through. Like, the way that you chose the different leaders of the second squad, who you wanted to be your technical expert when you went through the heating ducts, and the different people that you brought with you would affect who survived when they're holding the line back at the end. I also like the way that if you upgraded your ship with the Thanix cannon and the Cylon armor, it would increase your chances of defeating the Collector ship without losses. And I think the way that they concluded that was pretty nice, the way that you could finally say something back to Cerberus at the very end and rebel against them. Did I pre-order Mass Effect 3? Did I get the Collector's Edition? Actually, oh my god, I had a pretty big mix-up with this. I originally pre-ordered Mass Effect 3 from GameStop for the Standard Edition because I could not find the Collector's Edition in stock anywhere when I was looking, because I started to pre-order pretty late, about a month or two ahead of release. And about a month in advance, I got a link on the BSN, somebody giving me a link to FYE and saying that they still had Xbox 360 Collector's Edition in stock. So I went to their site, and I canceled my pre-order from GameStop and then got my pre-order at FYE. And then it was still in processing the entire time, and I had trouble reaching their customer support. And the day that Mass Effect 3 was released, it was still in processing, and I called their customer support, and they told me that they didn't have enough in stock, and eventually that my pre-order was canceled the day after the game was released, so I couldn't. If I would have known that would have happened, I could have canceled and pre-ordered from GameStop again, but I never got that chance. But I tried to pre-order, and then I eventually got the game a couple days after. What were you looking forward to most in Mass Effect 3? Everything, really. I liked the way I played in the beta, and I loved the way that they improved the game, the combat and everything in it. I love the way they improved the graphics. It was a big step up from Mass Effect 2. It was definitely the way I would have liked to Mass Effect 3 to play out. The way that you collected fleets and armies and everything to take on the Reaper threat. And I was looking forward to seeing the way that Commander Shepard would end up finding a way to defeat them against an enemy that has never been defeated before over millions of years. And just seeing how the way that all of my choices were, the consequences of all of my choices in the past two games, and seeing how they reflected into the gameplay that I was faced in Mass Effect 3. What were my feelings as I played the game? I think the soundtrack did a very good job of capturing the moments. Morden's death, I was... The whole Genophage thing was... I was kind of conflicted about. Because I know I needed the Solarian aid, but at the same time, the Eve and Rex were starting to take a liking to me and were treating me way too well for me to take a stab in the back like that. So I was being quiet about it up until I got to the Shroud. And right there, I spent about 5 minutes trying to consider whether I'd want Solarian or Krogan aid. And I eventually let Morden go up to the top of the Shroud and fix the temperature. Because I wouldn't be able to betray the Krogan like that. With the Rachni situation, that took me a little bit as well. I wasn't sure if I should sacrifice Arlok Company or rescue the Queen, because I had let the Queen go before, and she just turned against me again. So that took me a while to weigh out what would be better in the long run. And there was a lot of different parts of the game that did a good job of capturing emotions. What was my first emotion when you saw the end? Why? I don't know. It was a lot of different emotions. I had mixed feelings about it. I had heard that the endings were bad, and I went into the ending hoping that it was all hype, and that it was people overreacting about the end. So I went in with a positive attitude, thinking that I'd like it. But after I saw it, it was good. It looked amusing. But I didn't like the three choices that I was making. None of them sounded like I was making the right decision. All of them seemed like I was losing in some way. In Control, my Shepard died, and the mass relays were unfunctional. The Citadel was destroyed. Destroy, the Geth and Edie were killed, and then the mass relays and Citadel were destroyed. And then in Synthesis, I don't even see how people would consider that a good option. You turn everything in the galaxy into some kind of half-robot, half-organic thing. And, I don't know, I just didn't feel like any of those were a good idea. And then it threw me off course again when I saw the Normandy going and trying to outrun something when I'm not sure why they were leaving the battle in the first place. And then they somehow miraculously land on some kind of jungle world, like Adam and Eve type place, with... I'm not even sure how the entire crew survived in the first place, considering they just fell out of space going faster than light onto a planet. And the Normandy was like in half, but somehow everybody managed to survive. I can't really say anything positive about the ending, other than the fact that it looked cool. And that's about it. It was just the explosion. Everything else was just a mix. But what I like BioWare to do about it? Well, considering people, there's a good amount of people that like the endings. I think BioWare should implement either go with the indoctrination theory, which would be a good way to, even if that wasn't the way they intended it, it would be a good way to get themselves out of the situation. Or they could add different choices, add an option for a happy ending, a terrible ending, and then they can have their three bittersweet endings that they already have in the game. I just feel that people should be able to choose an ending that they would want for their saga. I don't think that BioWare should be making that choice for them. I think everybody should have the opportunity, depending on their effective military strength and their reputation, to choose a better outcome than what we were faced with. And I think that's all the questions you gave me.
Sorry, I had myself on mute. Thanks, Christian. I appreciate you being the first person to be willing to do this and taking the time to come on here and letting your feelings be heard. Christian wanted me to add a few things that he wanted to say. So here they are. The love interest part of the game played a large part in my experience in the game. I stayed loyal to Ashley after Mass Effect 1, then rekindled the relationship in Mass Effect 3. I think there should be some kind of epilogue to the ending, showing what happens after all that. Possibly a way for Shepard to reunite with his crew if survives after the destroy option. That's basically what he wanted added. He wanted to know, basically wanted closure. Alright, get ready, because we're going to get ready to start up Geek Entertainment. And this episode is called No! Which will become apparently obvious to you all once it gets going here. Alright, hang on to your hat, because here we go. Enjoy.
Obi Trice, real name, no gimmicks. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Two trailer park girls go round the outside, round the outside, round the outside. Guess who's back? Back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Entertainment returns, and this is your host Walter with my co-host Thomas DJ.
Greetings from Tebow Country.
Well, first let's get some minor business out of the way here. Okay, the songs in the intro was Eminem, Guess Who's Back, Black Eyed Peas, Pump It, and of course our mainstay, the Black Eyed Peas, I Got a Feeling. So
I got a feeling the Jets are gonna suck this season.
I'm sure there's gonna be some football.
7-9. That's what we got because Tim Tebow sucks a lot.
Don't get too angry about it, Tom, because God will strike you down. And what did Thomas say on when he found Tim Tebow was coming to the Jets?
Was saying with that. I think we might be playing the Texans this year.
Yeah. I haven't just looked at schedules.
I want to see J.J. Watt flatten Tim Tebow. A couple of times. They got like he'll get up and do that like American salute. Yeah. That's what I want.
He salutes and lightning hits him.
Shazam!
Boy, I'm going to hell. All right. Quick question for Tom. Did you listen to Ain't In My Face the Comic Book Nation?
Yes.
Well, I only put out one.
Yes,
this one.
I did.
Oh, okay.
I,
so
I,
you kind
of. No, I've been comic book free since July of last year.
Yeah. He went through the whole withdrawal and everything. Now he's clean and sober. He's got his little chit.
That's right.
And unfortunately for me, I'm still buying comic books. Even the ones I don't want. I suffer for my listeners.
I'm still trying to figure out how Solstice went from being this cheery, happy Indian babe in the pre-Dick New to becoming this black thing, this black smudge in the present Dick New.
Since they had a cut of those stories and pay people for the stories, they had to cut budget on color.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
I did pick up two DC comics this week that I enjoy tremendously. It were the last two Batgirls of the Stephanie Brown era. I mean, the send-off was kind of nice.
And was
but
that the one where they kind of tried to explain that Cassandra Cain had now become like the head of the Society of Assassins or something?
I got it right here in front of me. This is the one that Batgirl catches up with the father in jail.
Oh, okay, the Clue Master.
Yeah, the Clue Master, and so on and so forth. The tearful goodbye on rooftops, and she shows what she was thinking about the whole time. Dreaming and all this other stuff, and hints at the future. And
but it will tell these stories. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. I mean, Brian Q. Miller did a wonderful job on this book. He did a wonderful job. He actually took a character that no one would particularly care about, Stephanie Brown, and made you care. Oh, gee, thanks for your comment.
Tim Tebow made your dog say that.
And no matter what, I'm recording, this damn thing's got a hack. Yeah, stop looking at me and go over in the corner or something or another. Or on the other side of the bed. But, yeah. The whole Stephanie Brown era Batgirl brought Batgirl back to the forefront, you know? And that's the kind of reason why she probably, that title got introduced in the DC new universe with minty freshness and it doesn't stick to your teeth universe. Yes.
No, women in bikinis.
Yeah, you gotta be DC New You, the most misogynistic universe there is.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, even though it does feel scummy, I did pick up Supergirl 7 because it was the end of the first arc.
Right.
And let's just say that she can knock down people by doing crotch thrusts at their faces. It's mostly amazing.
It's like in those like Broadway musicals, those old timey Broadway musicals where like the femme fatale would do like the kind of like the hip thing.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And like the guys would fall down.
Yeah, and I mean that would probably be sexy, but when you see a supposedly 16-year-old character doing it, it's just fucking creepy.
There's a lot creepy. That's creepy about the Dick New, my friend.
Oh, yeah. And someone tried to tell me, no, she has pants on. They're just flesh colored. What? Yeah, they're flesh colored pants. What? Yeah. Then it makes no freaking difference. But yeah, I'm not buying that book no more because I just feel like it's a perv. Like I said, Supergirl, the comic book for pedophiles.
What do you make of, because it does look like we're finally getting ourselves a Power Girl again. I know you and I talked about how much you liked the costume redesign.
Yeah, in all honesty, I think the costume redesign is about as close to the original as anything else they put out, okay, to be honest with you. Okay. Only thing that's not there is the boob window, which is not really a big freaking deal.
Right.
Okay. No, she doesn't have triple D boobs anymore, mm-hmm. which, you know what, who cares?
Right.
But the costume to me, it looks okay. I mean, honestly, let's face facts, Power Girl never really have a flashy costume. The only reason people talked about Power Girl's costume was because of the cleavage.
Right.
Okay, so that one don't bother me. I mean, Huntress, they didn't redesign. They just went back to the classic.
I've kind of noticed that. I mean, thank God. I always thought that kind of like naval window
mm-hmm.
was highly impractical for considering who the Huntress was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you figure if you're the Huntress and you're going into, you know, gangland areas where people are going to shoot at you 15 miles a second, you probably want every part of your body covered up and, you know, preferably armored. And giving people a free gut shot never made sense to me.
I'm sure there's a guy going, shoot her in the belly button!
Yes!
Why not the head? It's probably the one thing that's not armored. No, we don't do headshots here. Okay, speak headshots.
She's got that cowl thing, and maybe the cowl is kind of, you know.
Yeah. Let me see if I can find it here on Newsarama.
Yeah.
And it is.
What I find hilarious is the idea that in the Dick New, Earth 2 Huntress, the Huntress was apparently Earth 2's Robin for a while.
Yeah, but they come with the Earth 2 that. Huntress is the daughter of Bruce Wayne and
Selina Kyle.
Selina Kyle.
In other words, once again, you know, Dan DiDio is trying to restore everything back to where it was when he was reading comics.
Yeah, I mean, which will devolve into in a minute here. But I want, if you go to Newsarama, I want to talk about another new design. Cool. Okay, the new Captain Marvel.
Oh, Hoodie Boy.
No. I'm talking about Marvel's Captain Marvel.
Oh, okay. I know which one you're talking about. The one that was designed by Jamie McKelvey of Phonogram fame.
Yeah. Those who don't know, real quick, the new Captain Marvel is Miss Marvel, which kind of makes sense,
right.
To be honest with you. Okay. I mean, no problems there. No problems. Okay. Okay, the new do you have Newsarama up?
Actually, no, I've got Project Rooftop up. They did a feature on it earlier this week.
Oh, okay.
I've got the full-length picture that McKelvey submitted that was with her. It looks like it's her up in the sky.
Yeah. It's got this red shoulders, start, but, and still, I mean, It's sort of a combination going on here. They're harking back to the classic Captain Marvel costume.
Yeah.
Okay. They got her red sash, which she's quite well known for.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And the only problem I have is why in the world does she have a zipper up in the front?
Well, because it's a jumpsuit. You got to have a zipper somewhere in a jumpsuit.
Yeah, but it's just a little distracting. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you know, we're kind of in... Although... I can't. Never mind.
I mean, you agree with me. It's just a little distracting.
I just didn't quote unquote notice it because, you know, we're living now in the age where superhero uniforms have visible seams.
Yeah.
So it considering some of the violations that the Dick New gave us, This isn't so bad. I know there are a lot of people who hate the short hairstyle. But I like the idea. The way they explain that is that's for her Kree. That's when she has to manifest her Kree helmet.
Yeah, and it's also she is an ex-military.
See, that's the other thing I like about this costume is that it's definitely it both evokes her, you know, her history with Mar-Vell, while also acknowledging that her. You know, she's always been a military girl.
Yeah. I mean, I like the costume.
Yeah.
Okay, I guess I didn't say that. No real complaints other than just the... I find the zipper's just distracting, that's all, to me. Okay, and other than that, it's a really nice costume. It almost gives a nice classic feel to superhero costumes.
Right.
Okay, as compared to Dick New You.
Oh God,
it's all called. Let's be bland.
Trust me. Sometimes I think with the Dick New, sometimes the stuff just gets too busy. Like every time I look at that new Jay Garrick Flash outfit, I throw open my mouth a little.
I haven't seen it, to be honest with you.
Okay, let me see if I can find it for you.
I'm sure somewhere.
Earth 2 Flash DC New 52.
Okay.
Let's see if I can find you an image.
All right, while you're working on that. Real quick, I did read Birds of Prey. Mm-hmm. Birds of Prey, a pretty good comic.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. I'm going to send this to you.
Okay.
Let me just get the full size image. I'm going to, let's see, send instant message, please. Here is the link. Check that out.
Okay, let's see. Do, 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 do. There we go. What the hell's going on there?
Well, it's the brand new Jay Garrick fighting mutant rats.
Did Ant-Man call and tell him they're ripping off his helmet?
Oh, God, yeah. It's awful. It's an awful, awful design.
The way that
the lightning bolt now goes off to his side and runs down one of his legs doesn't make sense. It looks like he doesn't, you know, instead of having pants, it's just like there's just like a red panel that kind of ends somewhere mid-waist.
Yeah. Okay, I got to get past that helmet. Wow. That thing is ugly.
Yes.
The lightning bolt, way it ends off, looks like someone spilled yellow.
Yeah.
It does. It just looks like... Bleh. And then the rest of it, while I give it props, is colorful compared to the recent new redesigns, which are pretty freaking bland.
Yeah.
This is stupid. I got no other words for it. It's just stupid.
Yeah.
Oh. No. Who designed this? Was it Jim Lee?
I do not know.
I wonder who did the design on that, because, God, whoever did that, don't ever do another costume redesign again. Oh, that thing's horrible. Oh.
Okay, let's see. Let's see if Digital Spy says anything. Okay, shut up. Google's not responding.
Wow, that I had to close that window because that thing is, oh God,
it's really bad. It's really bad. It's probably the, like, granted, I haven't seen every redesign. It doesn't say It does not say who did the redesign, so I have to assume it is probably Jim Lee.
Okay, how do you feel about that? I got a feeling that button would come into more play every time we talked about DC.
So let's take. I just want to take a look at the cover, the variant cover of which actually just focuses on Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, because of course that's what Earth 2 really needed, which was it. I'm going to send you the cover here.
Okay, I'm on CBR. I'm gonna type in Earth 2. Earth-2. Okay. Loading. There we are. Okay. Let's see. Wow, that didn't.
I love the fact that Batman looks like he's wearing a tuxedo.
I'm trying to find it here. Okay, Wonder Woman concept sketch, Robin redesign, Earth 2 variant cover. There we are.
Yeah.
All right. Let's pull this up. Let's take a look here, because I haven't really been paying attention to comic book news that much. Well, I've been on the road, and there's been periods of time I didn't have internet. So. Oh, by the way, I'm in Oklahoma, if people don't know that.
Right.
Granted, how can I? I've had enough downloads this past week. People should know where the hell I'm at. All right. Well, let's see. You know what? That Superman costume, I like better than the one that's going on right now in the main book.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the Doctor, DC 1 Million.
Yeah.
Superman costume.
That Wonder Woman costume? Not so much.
Yeah, no, it's way busy.
Way busy. I do not like the whole boxing headgear thing she's got
right.
going on. It's just fugly. Then we got Night on the Town Batman. Seriously?
Yes.
It looks like he's going to go clubbing. Or he's the lost member of the Legion of Doom Wrestling Society. The little spikes on his shoulders and shit.
Yeah.
Jeez. How can you fuck up Batman this bad? There's not even a bat symbol on him.
Okay. Walter, Zach's on. He's looking to be added.
Oh, okay. Which one? Ah!
wants Zach to join us.
I had to find out which computer I have Skype on. Okay, that's it. All right.
There we go.
Let's see. Are we still recording?
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Oh!
Tim Tebow wanted you to join us tonight, Jack.
Oh, one of the biggest mistakes that New York has made in a long time.
Oh, tell me about it. Hey. How are we going to solve the problem of our mediocre quarterback? I know. We're going to have him backed up by an even more mediocre quarterback.
Yeah. Well, the best solution for him was to go somewhere else other than, like, maybe Jacksonville. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Jacksonville would have been a perfect place because he would have been pretty much guaranteed a starting job there.
Yeah, I mean, because Blaine Gabbert's, like, the worst starting quarterback I've seen in a long time.
And remember, I've seen Dan Orlovsky play, so...
That's true. I got you, sir.
Okay. We developed into football talk real fast. And when he comes back, I'll introduce him. While he's gone, so I have a minute to talk.
Okay, I want you guys to do me... Walter, you've got my phone number. I want you to do me a huge favor.
Okay.
Call my phone.
Oh, okay.
I have lost it, and I cannot find it, and it's somewhere in this house.
proximity, folks.
Okay.
Please tell me, God, we're, please, for the love of God, tell me we're not recording right now.
Yes, we are. Oh,
Jesus. Okay.
He wants you to find your phone.
Oh, I don't have his. Okay, I got to use my actual phone, folks. I can't use Skype for this. Oh, okay.
So did y'all start recording about an hour ago? Hour and a half?
About 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, 20 minutes.
We've been looking at the latest round of really nasty and disgusting costume redesigns from the Dick New.
Well, I haven't paid attention to the Dick New because although when I went to San Diego Comic Con, it was like in my face everywhere.
We're new. Don't say it. We're 52.
For a Marvel fan, it was kind of demoralizing to walk into San Diego and pretty much everything was. I mean. Let's face it, Marvel got their asses royally handed to them at San Diego Comic Con.
Well, yeah, San Diego Comic Con, yeah. But the thing that's going to be interesting is that despite what DC will be pumping, has been beating its chest like King Kong on a bender.
Yeah.
As we'll find out later, because I'm assuming we're going to still talk about that, Walter, right?
Yeah.
It's
ringing.
Not so much.
Can you hear it, Zach?
Please leave your name or number and a brief message. I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
I guess
thanks.
That's a yes.
Please record your message.
That's that was his voicemail.
Okay.
Okay.
Sorry, I was on mute.
Okay. Did you find your phone?
I did not.
It's
still ringing, so it's got battery.
I'll call it one more time for you.
Hopefully I didn't put it on vibrate.
So right now, some girl's very happy.
Yeah.
Hang on. Just keep calling it until I answer it in a second.
Whoa. Hickson's come from Norwich. Whoa.
Welcome to Geek Entertainment. We'll find your phones for you. Hey, Darth, how you doing over there?
Hey, Darth, do you want Tim Tebow to join your Imperial Death Star fleet?
Oh.
I think we, by the way, have our title for this episode.
Okay. Boy, Zach's going to hate that by the end of this. Yeah, that's just how we put it. Entertain you folks, okay?
Tim Tebow wants you to be entertained.
Hey, Darth. Oh, you found it. Good for you.
Okay.
All right. Say goodbye to the folks.
Okay. Crisis averted.
Okay. Darth reaction that when you find out Dan DiDio is going to rewrite the Star Wars universe.
wait, what?
I said Darth Vader's reaction to finding out Dan DiDio is going to rewrite the Star Wars universe.
Shit.
I got to turn the volume up on that one. Oh, I got about 5. Okay. Oh, it is up. Oh, all right. Okay, back to the show. Okay. Oh, joining us, by the way, is Zach Joyner. Okay.
Who are you? Where am I?
Hey, Zach, welcome to Geek Entertainment. You missed the first 20 minutes of it, but we found your phone.
Most important thing, man.
Oh, yeah.
And now I've got 50 emails and text messages.
Okay, where were we? Oh, I don't remember.
We were looking at Mac Tonight Batman.
Oh, yeah. going down to town Batman there, wearing a tuxedo to fight
Parademons, I think they're supposed to be.
Yeah, whatever. That's a fail. Wonder Woman's a fail. I wish that Superman costume was in the Superman books.
Yes.
Because, goddamn, Super Bland Man is not really that interesting. And Zach has no idea what we're talking about.
What?
But at least... but So, correct me, from what I understand, Kane is back now? Only he's the Scarlet Spider?
Yes, he is. Kane was resurrected, so to speak, for the Who Has Been Riley story.
Right.
And then he came back during Shed briefly to get his ass kicked by a 12-year-old. Literally. I cannot...
Penny Hooker!
Skittles the Penny Hooker, yes. He ran away fleeing like this little bitch, like a little bitch, okay? From
that's
a little bitch.
That's not my Kane, man.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, dude, when that issue came out, I about came unglued. Phone calls, text messages, emails, it was awful. And so they brought him back for Grim Hunt.
Right.
And he died a hero's death, completing his redemptive circle that began with DeMatteis' redemption.
Right.
And all was good. You know, we killed him off to bring back the villain that nobody wanted to see brought back, Kraven the Hunter. And
everything dies, that's a fact. But everything that dies sometimes comes back. Sorry.
Exactly. So then, one page later, he is resurrected. Not even one issue. One page later.
I think that's a new record.
Exactly.
I think that is a record, people.
Guess who's back?
Yeah, it's like, so and on top of that, he gets resurrected, but he has 8 eyes. Wee-oo.
Or really bad acne?
No, it was 8 eyes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, nobody sees or hears from him in over a year. Flash forward a year later, our time, Dan Slott brings him back for Spider Island. He's the new Tarantula. Okay?
Okay.
Mysteriously, the Jackal is alive. We don't know how, we don't know why, but he's alive. With his
why
little
is he alive? Because Dan Slott says so.
Actually, it's not Dan Slott's fault. It's Tim Tebow's fault. But, no, actually, it was a miniseries written, like, in 2004. It was Punisher versus Daredevil, and they brought back the Jackal for no reason. No explanation, just brought him back. So that wasn't Dan Slott's fault.
Okay.
Then we have him become a minion of the Jackal via mind control because we brought back a villain from 2004 that no one wanted to see back, the Queen. The Queen.
Oh, that's like the bee woman, right?
Yeah, like she was from Paul Jenkins' Spectacular Spider-Man run. The disassembled.
That was the character. Wasn't that the character they used to justify Peter for a brief time having organic web shooters?
Yes, that was that same story.
Okay.
It was so made of fail that we had to bring her back. Okay. So we bring her back, and Kane gets dipped in. Okay, remember, you've heard of anti-venom, I'm sure, Tom.
Cookie dough. Say cookie dough. Come on, say cookie dough.
Yeah, like cookie dough. Okay.
So Kane got chocolate covered with sprinkles?
Yeah. So they take his antibodies and make like a big giant vat of white goo, which just sounds as...
Ew! Okay, all right, before you go any further, no! No! Okay, continue.
Okay, anyway. So, the Kane gets pushed in a vat of goo, going from a hairy spider to a completely normal-looking Peter Parker. Sans scars, sans everything. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
He also has...
The face thing is gone now.
Yeah. The clone degeneration is gone. Okay? So you've got that going on, and you've got... he's got web shooters and stuff like that. And so they give him the what was referred to as the Tron suit, from the big time premiere with Dan Slott becoming his own man. And so he ends up killing the queen, everything's like that. So he ends up going to Texas, and that's where he is now. That's where we pick up in Scarlet Spider number one. Okay. Actually, I will tell you this, Tom.
Okay.
In terms of characterization, this characterization is spot on.
Okay, cool.
It's a really good comic. I did pick that up this week at Legendary Comics here in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
I will say this. It is the best Spider-related comic book that's come out this year.
Oh, I can't say that because I got the first Amazing Spider-Man, Ends of the Earth. I haven't read it yet.
Ends of the Earth! It's everything you hate about Slott, in terms of Slott speak, comes out. That's been a Spider-Man Crawl Space podcast term, Slott speak.
Slott speak.
Where everything is in over-exposition-y. Like, and he cranks up the Mad Scientist and Dr. Octopus to like a 12, you know? It's like,
I shall get you, Peter Parker. And your little dog, too! Sorry.
Dr. Octopus, I'm using my life support system now!
So apparently, Dr. Octopus is Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That's what's going to happen with this next reboot. Oh, yeah.
My minions, get in the chopper!
Get in there! Now! Do it!
And his costume will be redesigned by Jim Lee.
Yes. Jim Lee's redesign principle seems.
You know what the sad thing is from the redesigns I've been looking at? Like the Earth 2 designs are better than the actual Earth 1 designs.
You haven't seen the Jay Garrick Flash one yet, have you?
No.
Oh, it's bad.
Show it to him, Tom, because...
Okay, I gotta go.
I couldn't keep it on my screen more than the 30 seconds, because it hurts. It hurt. I had to take my glasses off. It was hurting my eyes that bad.
Okay, here it is. Here it is. Let me. Okay, once again, I put this up for everybody's enjoyment.
But just so you know, I got Pamela up and little counters ticking off.
It's a terrifying.
It's truly. It looked like someone threw up on the page. He's working on it.
There we go.
Okay. Nothing like dead air on the show. Yeah.
Okay. Normal view. There we go.
All right, Thomas DJ is writing. He's writing. Give him a play-by-play. Why not? He's writing.
I did send the... Oh.
You hit enter?
That might be it. There we go. Sorry, that works now.
Yeah. You may hear Zach
what
scream.
What the hell? Yeah. When did Ant-Man's helmet... like, seriously, when did Ant-Man's helmet get on Jake Garrett?
What did I say? What did I say?
Like, did he run so fast he crossed the streams and said, "Oh, look, this is a nice-looking helmet. Hi!" Then what the hell is he, like, on his face? Are those supposed to be mutated rats? What is he, New York?
Yes, they are fighting. He is fighting mutated rats.
You know, Jake Garrett, exterminator extraordinaire.
It's like in like the lightning bolt is like orgasmed on his leg. I mean, this is terrible. Wow.
Okay, Darth Vader. There we go. We have a consensus.
Well, this is to start out because Walt and I were talking about the Power Girl redesign, how it's basically a return, in both the Power Girl and the Huntress, it's basically a return to the original designs.
Yeah, I mean, Power Girl has that classic feel. The only thing that's missing is the boob window, which is no big loss. And Huntress just went
she's
back to her
still
old...
all about tits. I mean, come on.
No, the tits actually have been stronger, shrunk down. She's no longer like a double D.
Okay, then what's the...
What's the point?
I mean, that's like part of her character is tits.
Well, they're trying to be serious. It's got to be dark and edgy. This is
see what most people don't realize is that the original proposed name for Power Girl was Super Tits.
But yeah, I mean, I like those the Power Girl redesign, and well, Huntress is not really a redesign; it's just a throwback,
right?
Okay. Compared to Orgasm Flash here with Ant-Man's helmet, someone's been dipped into Quesada's drug stash and drew that.
I am almost terrified to see what they're going to do with, like, Our Man and the Spectre. Because apparently these are like and you know many of these old Earth 2 because I love those Golden Age characters and seeing them so 90-fied.
Well, just so you know, I picked up the recent issue of Justice League.
Yeah.
They had the Stranger at the end. He was not redesigned. He still looks the same.
This is the Phantom Stranger with bitch slapped into Dio.
But apparently he knows that this new universe is not the right universe.
You know why?
Because
Dan Tebow told him.
Dan Tebow told him. And God has landed in New York.
Right.
Tebow's on with the Jets. Okay. We will talk football later on. I can't have you and Zach on here without talking football.
Woohoo! Football!
Yes. I got a question for y'all. I talked to Tom earlier this week over the phone and a little bit on Skype.
Yeah.
He knows that I played video games, and one of my favorite video games that I play is called Mass Effect.
Mm.
Okay, Mass Effect 3 came out about 2 weeks ago. There was a tremendous uprising about the ending of the game because this is like the last game in the series.
Right.
Totally blew, which it did. Basically, the universe burps and everybody's happy. Okay.
Especially the universe, because it was suffering from gas, something fierce.
Yeah, apparently. The customers, or you could say the fans of the game, got on the BioWare message board and just didn't flame them, just let their thoughts know. BioWare's response to it was, this is an artistic statement of the game. We are artists. Now, my question to you all, who decides a person is the artist? The person who's designing the game, drawing
the picture? Okay, when somebody takes a shit and makes it into, like, look like Jesus, they call that art too. Doesn't mean
okay,
it's actually real fucking art. Okay?
It can just be bad art.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you.
Okay, leave Tim Tebow out of this.
Okay, he's not Christ, okay?
Okay. But
he's barely Chris.
That,
what are you talking about?
Okay, if you're going to give someone a title of quote-unquote artist, is that something decided by the public at large or by the person?
You know,
I don't know. If people are so very emotionally invested in the game, clearly they are because there's been two. I mean, this is the third of a series, and they have an ending that's absolutely shitty. Then they have every right to sit there and say, "Why did we invest over $150, between $150 and $180 in a game that gives us a shitty ending?"
Mm-hmm.
And oh, go ahead, Zach. I'm sorry.
I mean, and that doesn't even include the downloadable content that you download and you spend money on. So, it's disingenuous for them to sit there and say, oh, this is an artistic impression, and so therefore it should be treated as such, you know, because we're pretentious jackasses. Let me smoke my pipe.
The other thing to keep in mind is that there's, I think that there's kind of like a different standard between an artist who is basically somebody who's like a sculptor or a painter who's basically doing this because he needs to express himself mm-hmm. and hopes to eventually make money through it.
Yeah.
And something that is designed from the get-go as a commercial entity, like a video game.
I mean, let's think about this. When Van Gogh was alive and walking mm-hmm. around, do you think people at first say, he's an artist, or did they go, he's a painter?
Well, most people were saying, he's a drunken bastard, get off my fucking lawn. I mean, I realize I'm kind of flippant about that, but I mean, it's kind of true. But people, as many people will point out, Van Gogh was not successful during his lifetime.
Okay, Da Vinci. Was he considered a sculpture painter first, then eventually an artist? Or did all of a sudden everybody just say, he's an artist?
Well, you know, I mean, Mona Lisa was a work for hire.
Yeah.
It was, and the thing is also, like, you go back and you look at, like, Da Vinci was doing his stuff during the Age of Enlightenment, when it was not only accepted, but actually expected of a gentleman mm-hmm. like Da Vinci to pursue the fine arts.
Wow.
While also, you know, being a stone cutter or whatever the heck you're supposed to be in your real life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but wow. I mean, how do we go from Mass Effect 3 to Da Vinci? I mean,
the Age of Enlightenment, yes.
To the Age of Enlightenment, like right now, like Thomas DJ, I feel like sitting down with my pen and paper and start taking notes. I mean, there's a little bit of absurdity to this entire statement. Wrong statement. I'm saying this comparison's like so way out there, but so true.
Go ahead.
Like, he was a builder of stuff, and these people created something out of nothing. And, like, if Da Vinci actually saw, you know, Mass Effect 3, he probably would have shit his pants and probably start throwing holy water on it or something. Be like, what the fuck is that?
Get the thing of paper from me.
Blue people! Blue people!
You call that art?
You call that art?
Why does my Italian sound like he's German? Nine! I'm sorry. Oh, I missed Geek Entertainment for this exact reason.
It's because we don't have structure here at Geek Entertainment. We just pull it out of our ass. We're artists.
Yeah. It's like, I know there's sometimes when you're watching like a horror movie and everyone dies. Okay, there's a level expectation of everyone dies. Okay,
why did you go Batman?
That's just a running joke that we used to have with our buddies. Is
Batman?
I'm Batman. Everyone dies.
Okay.
My Batman was a badass. Anyway, with a gun, but.
Okay, go on.
So. Back to Mass Effect 3. I've never played any of the Mass Effect games. But when you have a poll, did you enjoy the ending? And like 85% of the people say no.
91%.
Oh, did it go up to 91?
Yeah.
Your stance is we're artists, we're making a statement.
Go
why then do you put up a poll to ask people, hey, did you like it in the first place?
Exactly.
That's because they didn't. Someone else did.
That's because that's like the Steve Wacker argument that I don't actually do the artwork. I don't have the artwork commissioned for you guys. It's for me. He actually made that statement on a Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah, that was that whole week where like Steve Wacker apparently had drank the wacky juice.
Yeah.
That was that. God
showing up on all different message boards, like yelling at people.
Yeah, yeah, like
Deadpool issue.
Yeah, like the greatest thing that Wacker ever did was get into a flame war with JMS, and then Mark Waid comes on and starts calling him, starts saying that to JMS that it was a dick move, hence forever be known as Mark Dick Move Waid. So Steve Wacker came on to the Spider-Man Crawl Space one time. It was on the front page. It was for the review of 611. And I think he gave it like a 0 out of 0. he gave it like a, because the artwork was so horrendous that issue.
Man, yes.
It was 611 because it was Lady Stiltman, which the villain that no one demanded.
It was that Deadpool issue. I mean, okay, if people don't remember, it was like a Mad Magazine.
How
did
you make the art man more interesting to the reader?
Give him boobs.
Yes, exactly.
Put some tits on that. That'll help the readership.
Put them on the glass, ladies, still bad.
Anyway,
put
but
on the
like
glass.
It's like it was such a, and not only that, it was such a. Joe Kelly wrote a legitimately funny Spider-Man Deadpool story before, but he writes like your mama jokes
right
into this issue. That's what the issue ends on. Is a your mama standoff from like 2007 because there was a show on MTV called Your Mama.
Yes, I remember that.
Okay, it was like he saw that on reruns on MTV and said, "Oh hey, idea, Deadpool, Spider-Man, Your Mama jokes. What do you think, Steve?" Oh yeah, let's do that.
Hey, I talked to Brian Azarell. He saw this wonderful TV show called Your Mama. He told me to end the comic that way.
Brian Azarello.
Because, of course, yes. Because, you know, who else would you expect to decide to do Watchmen prequels? But Brian Azarello and J.M.D. Matei, not J.M.D., J. Michael Straczynski, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, don't insult J.M.D. Matei.
No, I would not do that, man.
J.M.D. Matei can write, like, you know, the phone book, and I'd probably like it.
I know Kevin Cushion loves JMS. He's a great fan, but I can't fucking stand his writing.
I like his Spider-Man. I really do. I liked his Spider-Man, but his I haven't read most of his other work, but it's he does have a pretentiousness to him. But his Spider-Man work was pretty good. My only problem with JMS's Spider-Man run was one. The
you could kill a person with that wiener.
What?
Zach wanted to showed me something about Texas Rangers.
Wow! Yeah, this is the Texas. There's a $26 hot dog at Rangers ballpark.
You
can
use it as a blackjack.
You could literally beat somebody's head in with this hot dog. It's like 20. It's like what? 2 feet long.
Yep.
Like
out. Yeah, it's just
yeah.
It's of course, wrong. What else? What's the one of the major links here? Carnegie Deli to introduce Tim Tebow sandwich.
It's a holy sandwich, and if you pray real hard, another one will appear next to it. Okay. Oh wow. One thing I didn't like about JMS's run as Spider-Man, it was too mystic. He entered the totems and all this other stuff. I liked about what he did with Aunt May and shit like that.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Okay. I'm trying to
I'm
get
sorry.
Back.
I'm going to that with Al.
Oh, jeez.
Corned beef, pastrami, roast beef, American cheese, lettuce, and tomato. Served on
yeah?
white bread.
Okay, the white bread I can believe. The rest of it doesn't sound very godlike. Okay. But
$22.22.
That's one hell of a sandwich. Pun intended. Did we lose Zach?
Join her.
We'll keep on chatting while we're gone. Getting back to the whole artist thing. Before we get distracted by hot dogs and Tim Tebow sandwiches. Oh, jeez. My problem with someone who say I'm an artist, I can say I'm an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, you can say you're an artist. And Zach, if you can hear me, if your mic is just unplugged, can say he's an artist.
I'm an artist.
Okay. We all can say that, but if everybody else says, no, Walter, you're just a cable guy. Tom, you sell shoes. Zach, whatever Zach does.
I may sell shoes, but I sell shoes with a book.
But I don't think anybody has the right to say, I'm an artist. It's sort of like what Prince did, call himself the artist.
But by that time, Prince had already had like something like 5 albums. Other people already conferred to him the title of artist.
Yeah, he went by the symbol. Like the symbol is
going to... You know, I mean, I'm almost tempted to say that artist is one of those...
loose terms.
Things that... It's one of those terms where you can't... attach it to yourself. You have to wait for other people to attach it to you.
Yeah. Would you agree, Zach?
I would agree.
Okay. Moving on. I got that out of the way. I've been wanting to talk to you all about that. I figured that'd be a pretty good discussion. Okay. Let's go to Newsrama here, and let's just pull a headline out. Yeah.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, but I think that's what it is. It's it is one of these things where you have to wait for other people to call you an artist.
Yeah, I mean, with BioWare saying that this is an artistic statement, it's you gotta.
It's an artistic statement. We've made you pay $50 to see.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where you don't get to call yourself an artist. You can't even say it's an artistic statement. It's a product, for one, and what you're presenting to the mass public, no pun intended, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, regardless to what medium, whether it be video games, television, movies, books, I mean, you like to be a published author, Tom, right?
Yes.
But you wouldn't call yourself an artist until about 1,000 people said you're an artistic writer.
Mm-hmm.
You could probably say, yeah, I guess I'm an artist.
And of course, for that to happen, you're kind of, assuming that there are 1,000 people who read everything I write, so.
But you know what I'm saying. I mean,
yeah.
It goes to what I said on my video, Face the Video Game Nation,
mm-hmm.
where I said, what's next? Someone calling a pizza guy going, no, I'm not a pizza maker. I'm a pizza artist.
I'm an artisan.
Okay.
I always that cracked me up was it Domino's had that promotion for the artisan pizzas?
Yeah.
Okay, like, really, guys? You're the purveyors of pizza for people who don't have a real pizzeria.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Okay.
How do I sound?
Sound pretty good. Putting your spurs on, I hear. But
yeah, I gotta get the horse and the spurs and I am driving a Mustang after all.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Tom, I have a question.
Yeah.
This is a legit question because you're a New Yorker. Do you actually have a driver's license?
I'm learning to drive right now, actually.
Really?
Yeah, I'm learning to drive right now. In fact, just this past Sunday, I took the cavalcade of bad videos that we have to watch that laughably passes into the 5-hour class here in New York.
Well, see, in high school, my class was my dad.
Yeah.
So I was just legitimately curious because I know that like New Yorkers don't drive, and like it's like, driver's license. You don't need a driver's license.
Yeah, it's one of those cities where the expense, it's so expensive to have a car because the space is at a premium.
Yeah, well, that, you know, you also live in the People's Republic of New York City, but go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, no. Well, as of yesterday, we now live in Tebow country.
God, no.
You know, there's this girl that I kind of, her and I kind of have a thing, and she lives in Denver, and she's a Broncos fan, okay?
Yes.
And she's like, every time it's like, so Tebow led the way, huh? She's like, no, the whole team played. It was a team effort. It wasn't just Tebow.
Yeah.
Like, well, there's a couple of them that was Tebow, but Tebow, he's a great kid. And
preface this when I tell people how much I think this is a bad idea, that it's not a judgment on him himself.
No. It's just, well, and I think he could be a good fit in the Wildcat because you do have Tony Sperano.
Mm-hmm. God, don't remind me.
Hey, you know what? There are times last year, like when, I don't know, Jason Garrett ices his own kicker, that I would have loved Tony Sperano. Because the year that he looked like a wonder genius was the year that Tony Sperano was holding his hand. We're going to football now, by the way.
No, not really. We haven't got out of the gate, really. But, hey, when you go up and place an order, ask the person how they feel about the Mass Effect ending. That doesn't cost them enough.
There was one time in high school I went through the drive-thru and I decided it'd be really funny to use an accent. So the first one that popped in my head was the one from Stop and Go. So it was a very good time, and they did not understand the words that were coming out of my mouth. Oh no, they and this guy, this is so Texas. Because the kid that was doing the drive-through was named Bear. Yes, you heard that right. His first name is Bear. B-E-A-R. Bear. He weighed like 200 pounds.
I
was like,
talk to my brother, Pig, and my sister, Gazelle.
Yeah, well, I actually had a teacher named... his name was Calc, but the L was silent. There was no L. So, and his name was Harry. Harry, and it looked like Harry Cock. Or no. His name was Dick Cock. No, his brother's name was Harold.
Lord.
And his sister name was... And everybody called you Dick. I mean, really? Oh, wow. What a wild tangent. Anyway, so, yeah, I almost got the cops called me that time, so I'm not going to do that this time. He was like, he started freaking out.
Never trust a man named Bear.
And I started getting very upset because he didn't understand the words that I was saying. How could you not understand the number 8 soft taco no lettuce with the Pepsi to drink?
Okay.
Sorry.
Boy, we go spinning around and around.
So, you want to talk football with me? Come on.
Towards the end of the show, Zach, we'll get to football talk. We haven't even really officially get out of the gate.
Okay.
We still haven't talked about the Superman movies. Well, the new one.
The new one.
Steel.
Yeah.
The Man of Steel. Anybody seen that new costume?
The Superman costume with
Superman...
the piping on it?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Tom. Yeah.
The thing that really puzzles me are those like little things that look like little batarangs that are there in place of his belt.
I don't think he has a belt. I think that buckle's there just to be there.
What is with Hollywood and their hatred of belts? Like, serious. This is a legitimate question I'm asking right now. Because, like...
Coming soon, Daredevil, like, the man with no pants.
you look at the new Spider-Man costume, and it's like, no belt.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at the new Superman costume, it's like, no belt. It's like, no, he doesn't need trunks. He doesn't need a belt. We'll give him no underwear on the outside. It's stupid. Don't you understand a genius? Ass wipes.
It's let's face facts. That costume, one, is muted color wise. I mean, it's no vibrant color. No vibrant color there.
Well,
you think of
because it's Zack Snyder and he doesn't know what vibrant colors is, except blood. He always makes that nice and vibrant.
And two, it's about the blandest piece of shit I've ever seen.
Actually, I like the symbol. I do. I liked the image with the cape. And it's kind of hard for me to judge because I don't hate the Spider-Man costume nearly as much now that I've seen a couple of trailers.
Mm-hmm.
So, I still think that Peter Parker looks like he's about to, you know, go Columbine on Midtown High, but I until I see a trailer of Man of Steel, you know, I'm going to keep my expectations at a medium, you know, not low, not high, but about a medium. I mean, my expectations are really low for Spider-Man, but that's because I cried salty tears when, you know, we have Andrew Garfield, who is like 9 feet tall with like a giraffe neck.
Peter Parker, written by a radioactive giraffe.
Yeah, like exactly. And he's like my age, but he's playing like a 15-year-old. And I'm like, this doesn't work. He's like 28. And like, no. And then he's got his like emo haircut. Like they took the haircut from freaking Twilight. Which you warned me about, Mr. DJ.
Yes, I did.
I believe.
But we shall see soon enough.
And then they miscast Emma Stone.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, okay. We got this really, really hot redhead. Let's make her dye her hair.
Back to her natural hair color, because she couldn't get a job as a blonde, but she could get jobs as redheads. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Like I would hit that like it owed me money, but not with her as a blonde. You know, and granted, there are certain images where she looks just like the Romita Gwynn, and I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
But then I look at her like when she had her hair red and long, and I'm like, that's like a Romita Mary Jane. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, she wears that always strikes me.
And just saying.
Go ahead, Tom.
The thing that always struck me about Emma Stone is that she looks kind of sort of like Lindsay Lohan before Lindsay Lohan decided to become a crazy person.
Oh, yeah.
Lindsay had more curves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, body structure-wise, Emma's much more skinnier. Like, she doesn't have the large... Globe.
But she's not a stick insect either. Okay, yes. She's not as busty, yes, but she's not a stick insect, though.
No. I mean, the one thing that bothers me about the Spider-Man movie, one is the costume. It looks like a costume made of a cut-up basketball. I'm sorry, that mask looks like a cut-up basketball. Nobody can tell me different. It looks like something that should say Spalding crawling across his head. Okay.
Present Hollywood's idea that everything has to have this kind of like extreme sports dry wicking fabric texture.
I have no idea. That thing is... it's just an ugly... I can't stand that costume. I'm sorry.
I'm gonna have to reserve judgment until I see it actually in action and see an actual trailer and see what the style of the movie is gonna look like. Because I was really not excited about the Spider-Man costume until like seeing the giant codpiece was not cool. You know, like why is Peter Parker's junk black? I mean. whatever floats your boat, Sparky, but like, and then like there was the scene where he's like, it was the screen cap where like he's jumping on his shoulders and he's got legs around the guy's head and looks like he's, you know, performing an act of aggression.
Ooh.
There's the upper low.
And there's where the show just went to that edge and just said, fuck it, I'm jumping off.
Hey, I'm trying to make it as clean as possible.
On this damn show? You, have you listened to this show?
I know. There are levels this show is stooped to.
And that is the end of part one. Come back for part two when we have two, count them, two major announcements going on. Well, I'll see you next time. Real quick, our closing song is Queen, The Show Must Go On. Take care. God bless.
Tales of yesterday will grow but never die.